Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Last week we were talking about unconditional election or unconditional salvation. Many of you are familiar with the acronym or the acrostic that represents Calvinism, TULIP. T-U-L-I-P, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance, or preservation of the saints. We were talking about the U in that acrostic, unconditional election. A Calvinist, when you think of a Calvinist, what you really think of, a lot of people may be not be Calvinists, even though they may believe one of those 5 points. What makes a person a Calvinist is that they believe that somebody, a person, is chosen by name before the foundation of the world, that they're going to be saved. Certain ones are chosen before the foundation of the world. And others are not chosen, so those that are chosen are going to be saved no matter what they do, we might say, and those that are not chosen can't be saved no matter how much they love the Lord, because they haven't been chosen. Jesus didn't die for them. And another way of putting that is the U and TULIP, unconditional election, that these chosen, these people elected to salvation before the foundation of the world, the only way they could be chosen before the foundation of the world, and it actually happened that way, is if salvation was unconditional. Because if it was conditional, that would mean they might not meet the conditions and they wouldn't be saved. Or if it's conditional, those that weren't chosen to be saved might meet the conditions of salvation and be saved. So another way of saying this Calvinistic predestination idea, chosen by name, the Bible does teach predestination, but not this idea. The one that says chosen by name to where you don't really have a choice, that's really described by the U and TULIP unconditional election. And last week we were talking about that. Let's look at some verses that I think clearly show that unconditional election, unconditional salvation, is false. For example, in Acts 10:43, it says basically, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That part's a quote. Whosoever believeth in him, talking about Jesus, shall receiveth remission of sins. Now, doesn't that sound like the salvation from sins, the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins is conditioned upon believing? It sure does to me. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Salvation from sin sounds conditional. How about Romans 3:26? Talking about Jesus, it says he's the God, he's the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The people that are justified are those that believe in Jesus. The justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, Romans 3:26. Again, that sounds like whether or not you're justified, saved, is conditioned upon whether or not you believe in Jesus. It sounds like salvation's conditional. How about John 3:18? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the Son of God. It doesn't sound like salvation's unconditional, that people are chosen from the foundation of the world by name, and they're either going to be saved or lost regardless of what they do. It doesn't sound like that, does it? It sounds like those that believe are the ones that are going to be saved, not condemned. It sounds like there's a condition of belief, doesn't it? And then how about John 3:36? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Sounds like everlasting life is conditioned upon believing in Jesus. Of course, that's the simple. If you just accept what the Bible plainly and simply says, without trying to get around it, that's the conclusion you're going to reach, that salvation is conditional. If you're more loyal to the system of Calvinism than you are to the Bible, God's Word, then you're going to stick with your position, your view that salvation's unconditional, no matter what the Bible says, because you've already got your mind made up. How about what Jesus said in Mark 16:16? The second part of the verse says, he that believeth not shall be condemned. That sounds like, if you want to avoid being lost, it's conditioned upon whether or not you believe in Christ. How about the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It sure sounds like our salvation, provided for by the death of Christ, is conditioned upon whether or not we believe in Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of those verses are very simple, very plain, very conclusive. The Calvinist doesn't have a leg to stand on. If you want to believe what God says, if you love God, you're going to believe the scriptures over and over and over again. It teaches salvation is conditional. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. You can give me a call right now. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment on any Bible topic, call us now at 877-655-6755. Not only is salvation conditioned upon belief, faith, it's conditioned upon repentance. Jesus himself said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Huh, sounds like salvation is conditional. Say one of these people, persons that's been chosen from the foundation of the world in the Calvinist view, is chosen to salvation from the Calvinist view, but he never repents. Is he still going to be saved because the Calvinist view says he was elected from the foundation of the world? No, because Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It's conditioned upon you repenting. So these chosen to salvation, according to the Calvinist view, are not going to be saved if they don't repent. And those, whether that they're chosen or not, according to the Calvinist view, those that repent are going to be saved. Peter told believers in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you want to be saved from your sins, you're going to have to be a believer. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to be baptized. According to Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Our salvation is conditional. That's a pretty simple verse. It's conclusive. It's clear. It's not ambiguous. Salvation is conditioned upon repentance and baptism. Remission of sins is conditioned upon repentance, baptism. How about Acts 3:19? There we see Peter preaching this. Inspired of God, of course. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So your sins will be blotted out by the blood of Christ, Revelation 1:5, conditioned upon you repenting and you being converted. That's pretty simple in Acts 3:19. How about Acts 8:22? This is written to a Christian who sinned, Simon the sorcerer. Peter told him, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So as a Christian, our forgiveness of sin, hopefully as a Christian, we're going to sin a whole lot less than we did before we became a Christian, because we committed when we became a Christian to quit serving sin. But nobody lives perfectly. Even Christians sin. To be forgiven for that, this says you have to, a Christian has to repent and ask God to forgive him. If he doesn't repent, he's not going to be forgiven. That sounds like a condition, doesn't it? Salvation is conditional. Not unconditional, like Calvinism says. If you're listening to this program and you're a Calvinist, I'd be glad to come and have a public discussion on this where both sides can be fairly heard, a friendly discussion. Treat each other as friends, but discuss, let both sides be heard. You know why I'm willing to do that? Because I really believe salvation is conditional. And since I really believe the Bible teaches that, then I'm willing to defend it because I think I can successfully defend it. The people who are not willing to debate it, the ones who are not willing to defend what they believe, I'm convinced from passages like John 3:19 through 21, it's because deep down they know it cannot be defended. Calvinists know they can't defend their position. I mean, how could you? I'm giving here dozens and dozens of passages in this outline that prove conclusively salvation is conditional. None of them are ambiguous. They're all clear. How can the Calvinist defend his position? He can't. Calvinism is a system of theology not found in the Bible. Not only are belief and repentance conditions of salvation, baptism is an essential condition of salvation. Another condition. Salvation is not unconditional. It's conditioned upon belief, repentance, and baptism. Here's Mark 16:16, the first part of this verse. We read the last second part of it a while ago. Here's the first part. Jesus said it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now admit it. That sounds like salvation is conditioned upon belief and baptism, doesn't it? Well, it doesn't just sound like that. That's exactly what it teaches. That's what Jesus said. Believe it. That's the only thing people won't believe. They refuse to believe that you got to believe and be baptized to be saved, even though Jesus clearly said it. The Calvinists say salvation is unconditional, but Jesus said The conditions are belief and baptism. It's clear in Mark 16:16. Give us a call if you have a Bible question or comment. Even if you disagree, that's fine. 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. How about Acts 2:38? We already read that. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We already emphasized the repentance part of that. Now let's emphasize the baptism part. To receive the remission of sins, you not only have to repent, you have to be baptized. It's a condition of salvation. How about Acts 22:16, where Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. No doubt about it, it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Revelation 1:5. When does the blood of Christ wash away our sins? When we're baptized. Not when we believe. Saul had already believed in Jesus at least 3 days before this. Now, at least 3 days later, he's being told by Ananias, representing God, you need to be baptized to get your sins washed away. That proves we're not saved at the point of faith, by faith only. You got to be baptized to get your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Bottom line, salvation is conditioned upon believing, repenting, and being baptized. The Calvinist says otherwise. They say it's unconditional. That's the U in TULIP. But the Bible teaches overwhelmingly that salvation is conditional. How about Galatians 3:27? Here's how that reads. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What do you got to do to put on Christ? You got to be baptized into Christ. It's a condition. How about 1 Peter 3:21? The like figure whereunto baptism, even baptism, doth also now save us. Would God say baptism saves us if we didn't have to be baptized to be saved? Absolutely not. That'd be totally confusing. Obviously, if the Bible's saying that baptism saves us, then that means we got to be baptized to be saved. It's not saying baptism saves us in the sense that that's the thing that earns your salvation. That's the grounds of your salvation. No, belief in baptism, that's not what saves you in that sense. They don't earn your salvation. The blood of Christ is what earns our salvation. That's what pays for our sins. Belief and baptism are just conditions we have to meet in order to be saved by the death of Christ. That's what 1 Peter 3:21 is saying about baptism. You got to be baptized to be saved. That's a condition of salvation. The Calvinistic position that salvation or election is unconditional is false to a core. It's wrong. It's dead wrong. Obedience is a condition of salvation. Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who's going to enter heaven? Those that do the will of the Father. Does that sound like salvation? Going to heaven is condition? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Sounds like it's conditioned upon doing the will of the Father. And that's absolutely what that verse means. I mean, because it means what it says. Now, I know a lot of people say all you got to do is believe in Jesus. You don't have to obey. This verse says you do have to obey. A lot of people like Calvinists say you don't have to do anything to be saved. Salvation's unconditional. This says you got to obey the Father in order to go to heaven. It's pretty clear. How about Acts 10:34-35? He that worketh, feareth God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Those, the only ones that will be accepted by God are those that fear him and work righteousness. Sounds like salvation from sin is conditioned upon fearing God and working righteousness. That's exactly what it's saying. And that's exactly the truth. Now, people don't love God enough to accept it, but that's the truth. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 says, them that obey not the gospel shall be punished with everlasting destruction. That's a quote. You're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. You're going to go to the bad place, H-E-L-L, unless you obey the gospel. Salvation is conditioned upon obeying the gospel. Something that's not emphasized in a lot of preaching. A lot of people who think they're Christians don't even know what it means to obey the gospel. They never heard it before, never heard that taught on. You got to obey the gospel to be saved, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. You better find out what it means to obey the gospel, how you do that. How about James 2:24? You see then how about works a man is justified and not by faith only. You see, when you're talking about the conditions of salvation, it's not faith only. It's also works. You're justified by works and not by faith only. And I know there's a famous quote from a lot of churches believe this. The famous quote from the Methodist Creed book is, Justification by faith only is the most wholesome doctrine, very full of comfort. This verse says you're saved, justified by works and not by faith only. Direct contradiction. The Methodist Creed book directly contradicts God's word. Bottom line, though, conditions of salvation are required by James 2:24. It's faith and works, faith and obedience. If you have a Bible question or comment on this topic or any other Bible topic, the lines are wide open. 877-655-6755. How about 1 Peter 1:22? The first part of that verse reads this way. Ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That sure sounds like if you want to be your soul to be purified, if you want to be purified from sins, you're going to have to obey the truth. It's conditioned upon obeying the truth. Well, not only does it sound that way, that's what it's saying plainly. Why try to get around it? What do you have to gain by trying to get around all these passages? Why not just believe what they say? That's easy. Just believe what they say. Now notice it doesn't just say you have to obey to be purified from your sins. It says you have to obey the truth. So obeying false doctrine, like obeying Calvinism, that's not going to do any good. You got to obey the truth. Yvonne from New Jersey, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, Matthew 7:13. Can somebody explain that to me? Enter through the narrow gate.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So this, Yvonne, tells us we better be diligent in our service as a Christian to the Lord, because only a few people are going to be saved. When I say a few, I mean relative to the total number of people. Throughout the history of the world, no doubt there's going to be billions and billions and billions of people who've lived throughout the history of the world. Few in relation to that number are going to be saved. You remember there were almost certainly millions living during the days of Noah. Okay, millions. And how many were saved physically, got on that ark during the days of Noah, Yvonne? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
How many? Do you remember how many got on the ark?
No, I don't.
I think you had him and his wife, his three sons and three daughters-in-law. Eight people. And there were millions on the earth at that time. Isn't that few compared with the total number of people?
Sure.
So Matthew 7:13-14, that's what he's saying. The way to eternal life is narrow and straight. Few are going to find it. Most people are going to take the broad way. Most people are going to take the easy way, which doesn't lead to heaven. They're going to say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I can live any old way I want to. Once saved, always saved. Well, I'm a Christian, that's but you right. don't have to obey God to be saved. That's the easy, broad way. The narrow way is no. We got to be the narrow way is this. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou wilt receive a crown of life. You have to be faithful, trust, that's and obey. And it, very few people take that course in their life. Does that answer your question, Yvonne?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate that good call, Yvonne. Call us back next week. All right, bye. So obedience is necessary to salvation. How about 1 John 2, verse 17, which says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You want to abide forever? Sounds like it's conditioned upon doing the will of God. Now, a lot of people say, oh, no, all you got to do is believe. You don't have to do the will of God. No, this says if you want to abide forever, you have to do the will of God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the Calvinists say you don't even have to believe, really. You don't have to do anything. Salvation's unconditional. At least some Calvinists put it that way. This says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, being saved, abiding with God forever, is conditioned upon doing the will of God. Is salvation's conditional. Brian from Idaho, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm perplexed. Why is it that Calvinism is so widely believed?
Well, you know, I hesitate to judge anybody's heart in particular, Brian, because we cannot read anybody's mind, and we don't want to try to judge their hearts, because only God can judge their hearts, right?
Correct. Yep.
But is it possible that Calvinism is so widely believed? Because the Calvinist is saying, basically, you're of the elect, and God chose you, and you're going to be saved no matter what you do. That means you can live any old way you want to and still be saved. is it possible that people are believing Calvinism because it's wishful thinking? They want to be thinking of themselves as a Christian and going on their way to heaven, but they don't want to change their life in a convenient way to get that conclusion is to believe in Calvinism. Is that possible, Brian?
Well, I believe that, and it sounds like it ought to be called out as a heresy, and I wonder why is it not called out more as a dangerous, self-destructive heresy.
I believe it is a self-destructive heresy. Here's another possibility, Brian. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, beginning, says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." People don't have a love for the truth, so they believe Calvinism. People don't have a love for the truth, so they believe in salvation by faith only. I mean, I'm sure you would agree with me, gay marriage is wrong. Aren't you agreed, Brian?
Well, it's not what God instituted, so it is its own deviation. Sure, yes,
so,
I believe
so we
that.
Can find, we know from Romans 1, 26 and 27, that homosexuality is a sin, but people who claim to be believers in the Bible and in Christ believe gay marriage is wrong. I mean, of the people who claim to be believers in Christ, probably 50% believe that. It's just wishful thinking. They don't have a love for the truth, do they, Brian? Don't have a love for the truth if you're not following the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free from sin," not false teaching. And he defined truth this way. John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So the truth is defined by God's word. Go ahead, Brian.
It seems like Calvinism is just extremely elitist and goes against the way of the Savior and the way of the kingdom. And so I don't get why there's this simmering tolerance for that. So it's not that I want to call it out and I want to say it's wrong. I want to know why are there not many, many more others calling it out?
It's a horrible, detestable doctrine. Here's what I mean by that, Brian. Calvinism,
well,
in fact, believes this.
Calvinism believes. Here's what it calling it out.
Here's what Calvinism believes, in effect, that people are lost. They're not of the elect, and they're lost on their way to spend eternity in a burning fire. And there's no way, nothing they can do about it. It doesn't matter how much they love Jesus, they believe in Jesus. If they're not of the elect and Jesus didn't die for them, they can't be saved. They're destined for eternal punishment and they have no choice in the matter. That's Calvinism. Why don't a lot of people call it out? Because most preachers and most people who claim to be Christians teach that all you got to do is believe in Jesus and doctrine doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe. But that's not the approach of this program.
There's this whole Jesus other element of Calvinism, which is, and I'm in and you're not. And like, where is that written?
That is egotistical, I think. When they're not following God's word to do that would be egotistical.
But
you know, Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 9, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Calvinism is a commandment of men, so those who believe, teach, and practice Calvinism, their worship is in vain. You can't go to heaven that way. That's pretty serious, isn't it, Brian? Go ahead.
So you and I agree. My question really is, why is it not so much more widely called out?
I just tried to answer that question, Brian, because most preachers teach that it doesn't matter what you believe. So even if Calvinism is wrong, it's okay to believe it. Because in religion, for some reason, 2 + 2 can be 4 and 5 at the same time, and both are right. So they teach it doesn't matter what you believe and teach. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So it does matter. Calvinism is a commandment of men. People are going to be lost because of it. Thank you so much for your call, Brian. I've got to go off the air. So Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments. They may have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates of the city." Go to heaven. You got to do Jesus' commandments to go to heaven. Calvinism is false. Salvation is conditional. Conditioned upon doing his commandments. We're going to talk more about Calvinism, Lord willing, in our next program. Be sure and listen next week at this same time. We'll try to talk more about unconditional election. In the meantime, if you would like a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Call or text me at 256-682-9753 for a free 1-hour phone Bible study at your convenience.